Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Join us every weekday at this time to discuss news, spend time in the Word, and receive answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, Kathy.
Good morning.
This will be airing on November 25th, you know, Tuesday of Thanksgiving week, and everybody's getting ready, getting those turkeys out of the refrigerator and ready to go. We usually have a pretty big party. We sometimes do two turkeys, mostly because people like leftovers.
Right. Right. Somehow it is better leftover than it is the first time around.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It makes great sandwiches. And Linda makes a, with the leftover, makes a turkey tetrazzini.
Ooh.
With it is really tasty. And we generally
will
generally have that on Friday or Saturday. So it's fun. So this is always a big week. Our grandsons are coming home. So we will just have a great week of just fellowship. And we play a lot of card games and a lot of games. And you know, just sitting around sharing what's going on at school. How's it going? Mm-hmm. Time in the Word together. You know, so it's a great week. You know, we actually have a great week with this. So.
Nice. Will they be home the whole week?
They
just
will.
The tail. Okay.
Yeah, they'll be home the whole week. So
nice. Very nice.
That'll be fun. And it'll probably, you never know, in Colorado, it could be snowy. You know, it could be...
Be 70 and sunny. You never
know.
That's
right. That's right. What's it like typically in New Hampshire? Is it just cold or do you typically have some snow already?
Typically just cold, you know, and fun weather, you know, kind of that crisp cold that you want it to be. But, you know, again, you just never know.
I guess you're not out. You're not out in the pool anymore, right?
No. The pool is closed already for the season. It is. And ready for Christmas decorations to be put out there.
Yeah. Well, this year you'll have your porch. It'll be interesting to see how much time you're able to spend out there.
Yeah. So we already, because it's chilly out there now, and I have blankets that I put out there, and we have two portable heaters that I have out there because I'm not quite willing to give up the time on the porch. I would rather just bundle up and go out there anyway. So, but those space, we have some tall tower heaters for out there that are made for that sort of thing. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah. We have a part of our property, which happened after we bought the property. They built a reservoir dam, and we wind up with lakefront property,
right
on the back of our property. So we built a little. We just got a kit and built this little gazebo out there, and we put a fireplace in it, so we can go out there even when it's chilly. We can go out there and have a wood burning fireplace. So
nice.
That's kind of fun. Nice. We can't go out when it's really super cold or snowy, but if it's not too bad, we can go out there. So
right,
that'll be fun. Well, we've been talking about, you know, this aspect of forgiveness and the Christ said, I put myself within you to live out the abundant life, which is starting with forgiveness and then receive my instruction. And we have a tendency when we think of forgiveness is it's directed towards somebody else that has hurt us and harmed us, and they've crossed our line of justice. We're rightfully angry. They deserve our wrath. And we've been talking about moving to a place of forgiveness because Christ has forgiven them to take away the requirement that they have to do anything for you to have the abundant life. So if you join him, you're free of that. Now, there's always that second piece, which we'll get into, is how do I move toward reconciliation? And we have to have instruction for that. We have to have understanding about that. And it is important because he said, forgiveness is a heart thing between you and me. The next steps will bring resolution to you about this relationship. So it's not going to hang there and you don't just put up with something, but rather you would be able to come to a place where you're resolved with it and you don't have to really do anything further about this particular relationship. Except periodically, if I ask you to have a boundary, that you'll have to maintain that boundary and learn where that boundary moves to, you know, because over time, like, you know, we did with my mom, we had this boundary. We were focused on making it through the weekend and not engaging in the things that were going to hurt me anymore. Over time, she actually stopped trying to engage, and the boundary got a little bit, we didn't change the boundary per se, but it got easier to where it wasn't so much time. Well, that's quite a bark there.
There's a FedEx truck in the driveway and both Uh-oh. Dogs are just going. So I'm trying to mute it out.
All right. Well, we know your dog can, he can howl pretty good there. So it's, you know, it's living that freedom. And as we think of forgiveness, God tells us that it's complete about everybody and everything, so that as you look at forgiveness, he makes an interesting statement in Romans 8, 1 and 2 that we need to unpack a little bit of what it means. So if you would, go ahead and read Romans 8, 1 and 2.
Sure. It says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death."
Yeah. So he says, therefore now, and the now, the word now is really literally the immediate moment, like right now, right now, right now, always right now. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus and are living out the life of the Spirit. He said, so there's no condemnation from Christ about anything or anybody in your life. So, and he purposely says it this way. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is where the beauty of scripture, as you abide, you start looking at, okay, what does it say? And you almost talk about, well, what does it not say, or how could it have said it? If, and this is how most people read it, even though it doesn't say this, Christ has forgiven me and doesn't condemn me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if that's what it said, most people's reaction to that would be, yeah. Yep, he's forgiven me and he doesn't condemn me. Okay, but it says in Christ, there is no condemnation for any place, any source. Okay, so our question is, well, if he made that broad statement, what does that include?
Right.
Well, we know one thing, it includes others.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not supposed to condemn others because he doesn't condemn others. Now, remember, he's not reconciled with people, so that's different. And they stand separated, which in essence would be condemned, but I'm not purposely condemning them. They're choosing not to receive what I offer them. So others, and he says it also, and this is for a believer, this also, God speaking, includes me.
Mm-hmm.
So that, and I have a lot of people that have great resentment against God. Now they don't say so.
Right. But that's because the reality.
Because they're not, I'm not supposed to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't. But when you start to get into the depth of their soul and why they're so miserable, and it comes out as, I really can't understand, how did God allow that thing to happen to me, or put me in this awful spot, or never answered my prayer that would have taken me to a better spot, and I'm still in this miserable spot. So in essence, I don't think God's that good. And because of it, remember, think of good as my definition of good.
Right.
So in essence, God has crossed my line of justice and didn't perform the good that he could have, which meant he gave me harm.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Well, because I thought he's in control and everything that happens is his will, and my life is tough. And so it's his fault. And I had this unforgiveness toward God because I'm building this resentment that how come? And he said, well, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. So I have to release you of that and get to the truth of that, so that you recognize that I love you and I actually want to give you the best.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I can do it now if you have a heart to go, but I can't let you be God. And if you're operating in the flesh and you determine your own path, he said, what that looks like is a test. And you're testing me to say, if you do what I want, then I'll follow you. And he says, I can never let you be God. Partly is because I know better than you, and I know what to do to give you abundant life. And you're actually going in the wrong direction.
Right.
So I have to show you that so that you release that heaviness against me, and then we can move forward in freedom so I can lead you down to the path of the blessing. And so it includes an attitude toward God that we have to work through. And he says, I'll do that. And then the other one is ourself.
Right.
Is I've done things, I'm guilty, I know what I've done. And all of us, particularly as we get older, we know the mistakes we made. Mm-hmm. And we can see the direct consequence of that.
Right.
You know, when Linda and I went bankrupt, it was my fault. I didn't listen to her, and I made a lot of stupid decisions. And at first I blamed God. Mm-hmm. And then pretty quickly I recognized, no, this is me, and I caused it, and I had guilt. Mm-hmm. At that moment, that was one of the hardest things for me to work through.
Right.
Was letting letting myself off the hook for, first of all, I deserve the consequence. Mm-hmm. And you kind of deserve that. So then you say, if only I wouldn't have done that, I wouldn't have this consequence. And you mm-hmm. live in that circle of if only, if only, if only.
And you feel bad because other people are experiencing the weight of the consequences of your decision as well, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so he said, well, I have no condemnation. So you have to forgive yourself and then come and follow me into, you know, what I want to give you. And then I want to show you that I can restore the things that you've ruined because I have the power to deliver that, but it has to happen out of your forgiveness, particularly of yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the reason for that, is if I'm focused on my failure, mm-hmm. think about it as I'm kind of stuck there.
Right.
Is if only I'd done, if only I'd done, if only I'd done, I'll never get there. I'll never receive anything good. I deserve this. I deserve this. He says, I can't afford for you to have your energy there because the solution is now forward. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have to walk with me in freedom, knowing that I'll restore it. And then you can let go of that guilt and live in freedom, and you're going to have to let yourself off the hook. Now, he said, why? I've already done it. See? So when he says there is no condemnation, he said that includes every place, every source, you toward me, toward others, toward a situation.
Right.
Go ahead.
If you don't mind, can you press in a little bit and share? Because we've shared other examples about external forgiveness, but this one, you know, you've got a good example here of you having to actually work through forgiving yourself. Can you share a little bit, if you remember some of the details of that journey of what God took you through in that? Because I think there's a lot of people who are sitting in that very thing that honestly more readily extend forgiveness to other people around them than they do to themselves.
Yeah. I was an executive, you know, made a gigantic mistake and investing in real estate, opposite of what Linda said that she wanted me to do. Other people told me, because I had a great success in it, and then I you know, reinvested everything back into bigger things. And I violated scripture. I signed, co-signed, and signed a guarantee on the loans, of the construction loans. I think, you know, how bad can this get? And I failed. I lost it all. I lost everything. And so I was at a place of complete failure, and I was forced into bankruptcy by the banks. And at that point, I knew that it was all because of my pride,
right?
Of what I weren't willing to do. I really wasn't following God. I was manipulating my own sense of God's will. I knew about mm-hmm. God's will, but I justified it out of things that I came up with, and I failed. And so with the failure, it was very heavy, very deep, and very consequential. Mm-hmm. So I went into I never got to what you'd call a deep depression, but I was in a pretty heavy oppression. Mm-hmm. And it was my fault. Mm-hmm. And I'm in that focus of you deserve it, you deserve it, you deserve it. And I'll never get out. I'll never do anything back again because I've lost it all.
Right.
So the way I operated was I was still working. I would come home. Linda would have dinner. I would eat dinner with Linda and the kids. I was cordial, but I was not engaged.
Right.
And then afterwards, I'd go to my office and I was basically focused on the failure and trying to say, okay, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And then I'd go to bed. So I was sad. Mm-hmm. I didn't really come back to the life of the family, even though Linda had said, hey, I did tell you that this was a bad idea. But, you know, hey, I forgive you. Let's go. You know, and I just couldn't get going. Mm-hmm. But one thing I did, and I realized this later, but I was abiding in God. And I didn't even fully understand what that meant. But what I did was before I go to work in the morning, I knew that forgiveness was important in condemnation, and I was condemning myself. I did know that. So I got verses, Romans 8, 1 and 2, Psalm 103, Hebrews 10. I wrote these verses out, put them on 3x5 cards, and I would walk in the morning. And I'd pray these verses. You know, you said, you know, forgive me. And I'm trying to forgive myself, but I would say, yeah, but. And so I'm
which
in the verses.
Which is an authentic place to interact with him.
Yeah.
Because you're expressing where you really are. You know where you need to be, but you're expressing where you really are and having this dialogue with him.
Yeah. Go ahead. And see, I didn't even go into it with somebody who had told me that, hey, if you stay there, the word, the power of the word will overcome it and it'll happen. I didn't even know if it was ever going to happen, but I did it. And I don't even know why I did it, but I did it every day. And I'd walk and I'd come home and I was sad. I'm not energetic. You know, I'm all of these things. And so it's probably 3, 4, 5 months. I'm doing that every day. And I go out and because I'm in the Word of God, which I didn't realize then, but the power of that Word is happening. And I got a little bit of relief, but not fully. So I'm back and forth. And then I'm walking back. I remember this very vividly. I'm walking back and I've been in these verses, praying these verses, Father, you know, let me receive it. And it broke. And that was where I was like, wow, because it wasn't like I've decided to have it break. It broke.
It was broken. Yes.
It broke. And I'm free of that. I can release that there is no condemnation. That includes me.
Right.
Really, really. And I had the freedom of it. And he said, well, finally, he said, I've already done that, you know? And so are you ready? Now that's when the point came. And this is what, you know, the issue of forgiveness is about yourself, particularly. Are you ready, son, to go and follow my instruction to the abundant life?
Right.
I can restore everything that you made a mess of. And by the way, this is where Linda and I learned abiding and learned unity is you have to learn that the Holy Spirit is within your spouse. And it's the same Holy Spirit you got. And you've been disregarding that and disrespecting her. Are you willing to learn what it means to go to unity with her? And I'll get you there together. And by the way, that'll be the way I'll lead you to the restoration.
Right.
Absolutely. But it broke. And at that moment, having lived in deep guilt, I now had zero guilt. I mean, it wasn't like a little bit. No, gone.
Right.
And I've never, ever lived in guilt again.
That's beautiful.
Now, have I lived in conviction? Yeah. You know, because he'll now say, hey, Rich, you know, you're kind of missing this a little bit and I need to convict you of something.
Right.
But there's no condemnation. I just want to heal it. You know, okay, great. Got it.
Well, and that's a good point just to bring up the difference again. I know we've shared this before, but the difference between conviction and condemnation.
Yes.
Conviction will always come with hope because of restoration. If he is the author of it, he is also going to finish it. If he's bringing it forward, he will bring it to completion.
Yeah.
Condemnation, where you know you're sitting in condemnation always comes with shame and guilt. And that's actually a tool of the enemy.
Right.
Right. And so we need to recognize the difference between conviction from the Holy Spirit and condemnation, which comes with shame and guilt. And that is not for us, right?
That's right. I found because of, you know, situation with my mom, I found it easier, relatively easy. It wasn't, neither one of them were easy, but it took longer for me to forgive myself than it was to forgive my mom. Because you know,
right.
You know what you did
right.
And it's right there in front of you, you know? And so it takes a while, but when it broke. And then I learned something really cool alongside of that and read verses 1 John 1:9. This is a cool, I learned this and it's true.
It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah. The word there, confess, is then, you know, turn to me, return to me, and walk with me, so that when I'm convicted, it said, hey, son, you've walked away from me out of the kingdom, and you're back to self. Mm-hmm. And something has happened. You're back to self. I've learned that the restoration is instantaneous. And all I got to do is say, whoops, sorry, I went back to self. I'm going to come back and surrender my will to you and walk with you. I don't have to go fix anything. Mm-hmm. And he said, I instantly cleanse you and welcome you back and stay with me.
Right.
That's why I never go to guilt anymore, because I've learned quickly that, yeah, I walk out of the kingdom. Yeah, I go to the self, and I know it. Mm-hmm. And he says, well, the answer is just come on back.
Yeah. And now I'm going to press you again on this part, if you don't mind, because I know this is on people's minds. The consequences sometimes, because the consequences don't go away.
No.
Right? And those very consequences can then become a trigger to take you back to condemnation if you're not intentional in walking in the forgiveness with Christ. Can you speak about that a little bit?
Yeah. Because of what I did, you know, there were severe consequences. Well, just because I forgave myself and he forgave me and said, oh, let's go, those consequences were still present. Mm-hmm. They themselves weren't released.
Right.
He said that, you know, there might be restitution, there might be a walking through something to get to the answer, that if you've done something that you need to say, let me help restore that, or let me be part of the restoration of it, he'll include that in the reconciliation piece of,
right,
now that you've forgiven yourself, I'm going to have to give you instruction because your consequence hasn't gone away. Mm-hmm. And now I can fix that consequence. Mm-hmm. You know, like for us, when you go bankrupt like I did, you had to by definition lose it all, everything. Mm-hmm. We had zero, and you still had zero.
Right.
When I finally got, you know, let myself off the hook, and there was no prospect at the moment, mm-hmm, to, well, do these things and you'll get a new level of safety savings in your life. Well, that wasn't there. And
right.
So he didn't say, well, that's gone. He said, that's still there. Mm. You're going to have to let me walk you into my answer for that. And that may take some time, mm-hmm, but you'll live in freedom. You'll expect that what I'm about ready to do, I'll do. And you can have joy. And when I broke with forgiveness, and then Linda had already joined it, and she said, I'm willing now to walk with you into the answer, we learned and had pretty quickly joy, mm-hmm, while that consequence was still present,
still going on, right,
and needed to be resolved, because it wasn't any longer about the consequence. It was that, yep, you have a consequence. That didn't go away. Mm-hmm. I will restore and fix and resolve that consequence if you have a heart to go, mm-hmm, and you're going to have to follow me. And the way it all happened was supernatural, miraculous stuff that I would have never on my own decided to go there.
Right, right.
But through Linda and unity and learning to hear God's voice, we went in that direction, and God did some amazing things and put me in certain spots because he said, you're following me and I promise you what I'll do it. The consequences were resolved over time. But like you said, it wasn't instantaneous.
Right.
And they didn't go away.
And you had to be guarded to not allow those to trigger your unforgiveness towards yourself again. You had to stay focused on God. His word says, I am forgiven. And so those consequences don't get to pull you back into unforgiveness.
Yeah. And it's interesting. We had to guard against two things. One is that issue of, mm-hmm, drifting back into, oh, yeah, look what I did. You know, look what,
right,
I, no, nope, nope. You've been forgiven. Relax. Keep going. Number one, I had to guard against that. Number two, I had to guard against me coming up with my own plan, mm-hmm, to fix it.
Yes.
Because I could have easily done that.
That's a good point. Yep.
Okay. All right. Here we are. All right. I'm going to go do blah, 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 blah. And God says, you're going to just dig your hole deeper, son. If I was you, I'd follow me. And by the way, I'm going to use your wife to help you get there. Mm. And I want you to learn that. Guess what? Your life will get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. Mm. And if you learn that, it's like,
right,
I'm going to learn that. And we did.
That's
and
great.
It gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter. And we've lived in great joy, lots of trouble, lots of tribulation, mm-hmm, but never back in that position. Mm-hmm. once, particularly a couple of times, I had a temptation to go do it again, invest in income, you know, and I had come up with this great idea, you know, and I'm sharing with Linda, hey, I think we could do A, B, and she says, let's see, I think, do you remember that God said never to do that again? That's right. That's right. Sorry. I'm not going to do that, you know? And so it's that taking back over the resolution piece of it, which means I get to stay in freedom with releasing. I had no ought against God. I gave that up pretty quick. I recognize it wasn't him. It was me. Mm-hmm. I had to let myself off the hook. Learning to walk into his will, which is best and none better, which is the abundant life, and then how to live in freedom with people that hurt me continually and come against me and cause trouble, but that it doesn't suck me under anymore.
Right.
Because I've learned how to go to forgiveness, and then now what? So Heavenly Father, thank you for where you took this discussion and the importance of, as Kathy recognizes, well, what does that look like? What does that really feel like when you're working through unforgiveness of self and unforgiveness even of you? And so we just pray that we'll receive that, recognize what a beautiful place it is to get that freedom, and that we just have to abide in it to receive it, live it, and then know what to do next. And we thank you for that wonderful example in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks so much for sharing so openly on that, Rich. I think that's so useful for all of our listeners to see and hear. So thanks for that. And to our listeners, if you have questions, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep. See you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.